The more one does and sees and feels, the more one is able to do, and the more genuine may be one's appreciation of fundamental things like home and love and understanding companionship. Amelia Earhart. My name is Becca Ryswick, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories. History is full of engaging and fascinating topics, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So settle in as we explore one of my favorites. Last week on November 2nd, So That's What Happened turned 1 year old. We've had a few stops and starts, but overall it has been a wonderful time for me, and I hope you've had fun learning with me over the last 28 episodes. Last week, I celebrated by sharing the first episode of my new series, So Legends S. This week, I thought we could revisit STWH's first episode, Amelia Earhart. A year ago, I shared about some of Amelia's life leading up to her disappearance, and the theory that she and Fred Noonan, her navigator, crashed on the island of Nikumaroro, where they sent off a few last desperate calls for help and then succumbed to the elements. Coconut crabs play a large part in this proposition. This is a popular theory, and one that has received a lot of attention of late. Another theory, just as popular, is a bit more fantastic, though no less likely to have happened. That theory is that Amelia was a spy. Before we get into the meat of this theory, let's take a look at the political climate of the time. Amelia and Fred disappeared on July 2nd, 1937. World War I had ended on November 11th, 1918, a day that is still celebrated in the US as Veterans Day and by other names in other countries. The end of the Great War led into a turbulent time for most of the world. Here in the US, we launched into the Roaring Twenties, only to come crashing back to Earth in August of 1929 with the stock market crash that contributed to the economic depression that came to be known as the Great Depression. Europe was in even more difficult straits, many countries still healing from war within their borders, and Germany was languishing under harsh reparation payments. By January 30th, 1933, Adolf Hitler was able to use the difficult position his country was in to become the Chancellor of Germany, and soon after, the dictator. World War II would begin 2 short years after Amelia's disappearance, when Germany invaded Poland on September 1st, 1939. While most of Europe was keeping a close eye on Germany during the build-up to the war, tensions were also rising in the East. Despite being allied with the US and Great Britain during World War I, Japan felt they were not treated with the same respect as their Western allies. The Treaty of Versailles laid out that national aspirations must be respected. Peoples may now be dominated and governed only by their own consent. Self-determination is not a mere phrase. It is an imperative principle of actions which statesmen will henceforth ignore at their peril. It's an odd statement, and one which couldn't stop another world war from breaking out a few decades later. But there was a clause presented by Japan which was notoriously absent from the treaty. NPR's article, A Century Later, The Treaty of Versailles and Its Rejection of Racial Equality, by Josh Axelrod, describes what happened. Japan's racial equality proposal would have strengthened Wilson's call for self-governance and equal opportunity. Yet, when the victors signed the treaty, that language was nowhere to be found. The rejection of the proposal would play a role in shaping the US-Japan relationship, World War II, and Japanese-American immigration. It sheds light on the treatment of non-white immigrant groups by the US and its legacy of white supremacy. In 1924, the Johnson-Reed Immigration Act barred all Japanese immigrants from the US. It was at this time that extreme nationalism was on its rise in Japan. There was an emphasis in preserving their culture and a rejection of the Western influence. By 1931, this had boiled over into Japan invading and occupying Manchuria. In 1933, they withdrew from the League of Nations, and on November 25th, 1936, Japan signed the Anti-Comintern Pact with Nazi Germany, which was essentially an anti-communism pact targeted mainly at Russia and China. While the US didn't officially enter World War II until the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, steps had already been taken to sway public opinion in favor of the Allied cause, but that's a story for another day. So how does Amelia fit into this turbulent timeline of events in a larger way than that of the most famous female flyer? Well, by the time Amelia Earhart disappeared in her lecture with her navigator Fred Noonan in 1937, Japan had already invaded Manchuria and entered into a pact with Hitler. The U.S. would have wanted to be able to fly reconnaissance over the Pacific in order to update maps of the area. By having Amelia, one of the most well-known women in the world, disappear over the Pacific, the Navy would have had the perfect excuse they needed to conduct these passes. This exact setup is actually the plot of a movie from 1943 called Flight for Freedom. This begs the question, which came first, the theory about Amelia or the movie? That is actually, unfortunately, difficult to pinpoint. An interesting twist, though, is that many claim that the film is based on the screenplay Amelia's husband, George Putnam, submitted to RKO, perhaps through Jacqueline Cochran, a close friend of Amelia's and wife of RKO's CEO, Floyd Odlum. If this is true, it may be possible that the plot was a version of what George believed happened to his wife. If Amelia was a spy, or perhaps given some sort of a faulty instruction so she would end up off course, then what happened to her and her plane? There are several options here. The official stance may still hold true. She crashed into the ocean, likely near Howland Island, and was never seen again. There is also, of course, the theory that Amelia and Fred were captured by the Japanese. This holds that they would have been picked up from the sea or an island where they crashed, along with the Electra, and were then likely taken to Saipan. While there, supposedly, a photo was taken of them, and years later, many locals claimed to have seen a white woman and a white man, who bared more than a passing resemblance to Amelia and Fred, being brought to the island as prisoners. From there, depending on who you're talking to, they were either executed on Saipan, or brought to Japan and executed there as spies. So why haven't either the US or Japan come forward and admitted to some version of this theory if there is the amount of evidence available that proponents of the theory claim that exists? There are two simple explanations. Either the official documents were lost or destroyed, there was a war going on, or neither side wants to admit their culpability in Amelia's disappearance. If she was a US spy, the government would have to admit that they were unable to find her despite the fact that the crash was planned. If Japan captured and executed her, they would have to admit that they killed Amelia Earhart. So that's what happened, or at least that's another theory on what might have happened. It is likely we'll never know what actually happened to Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan on July 2, 1937. But despite her disappearance and seeming failure to carry out her final flight, Amelia has been, and will likely continue to be, an inspiration and hero the world over. As with my first episode on her, I found the podcast Astonishing Legends, a series on Amelia Earhart, to be of immense help in my research. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing and sharing. I also have another show about the weirder side of our world called So Legend Says. If you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to patreon.com/sothatswhathappened or click the link in the show notes. If you have any topics you'd like to hear me cover or questions or comments about this or past stories, you can send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as STWHpodcast. The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity. The fears are paper tigers. You can do anything you decide to do. You can act to change and control your life. And the procedure, the process, is its own reward. Amelia Earhart.